The Constitution says that one of the purposes of our federal government is the common defense. For nearly five decades, Iran has been run by mullahs who have led their people into regular chants of death to America, death to America. And so they've attacked Americans repeatedly. They've also attacked Israelis, and they regularly chant death to Israel. In a previous discussion, best-selling author and speaker Bill Federer explained the Islamic threat even to America when we were a brand new nation. Today, Bill Federer rejoins us to talk about the common defense and the Iranian threat. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Bill, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Jerry, great to be with you.
Sure. All right. Now, we have discussed a little bit about what's happened, where the president has been trying to essentially make sure that Iran does not have nuclear weapons or access to nuclear weapons. In the meantime, we've seen on the home front, we've seen attacks by would-be jihadists. And in some cases, they've killed a person here or killed a person there. But people have been active and have neutered some of those would-be attacks. But is this something we can expect because of the lone wolves out there that are upset about what's going on, from the Trump administration?
Yeah, well, we have 1,400 years of Islamic track record to look at and how they have taken over and kicked out Christianity from two continents. Right, all of North Africa used to be Christian. All the Middle East, the birthplace of Christianity, used to be Christian. All of Turkey used to be Christian. And there's a fast way and a slow way. Fast way is the sword. Slow way is through immigration. And we go back to Muhammad. He's the DNA. Muhammad came as an immigrant in the year 622 AD into a Jewish city called Medina. Three Jewish tribes controlled it. They were nice. They let Muhammad in as the first ever Muslim immigrant. He goes into the minority neighborhoods and he organizes a following. And when the following gets big enough, he gets involved in politics and he pressures the Jews to accommodate him and his followers politically. They do. They make a treaty. Now Muhammad's a religious leader. And then Muhammad's followers get chased out of Mecca. Now you have lots of Muslim immigrants coming into Medina. Muhammad says, well, we're the victims, so therefore we're justified in attacking the caravans headed back to Mecca. And so he becomes a military leader, and he fights in 66 battles and raids, killing an estimated 3,000 people. And so he goes back into the Jewish city of Medina and gets offended at the smallest of the three Jewish tribes. They're sort of political parties.
Right, and we did cover this last time, and I really appreciate that background that you gave us. But so as we look at the modern situation and we see a jihadist here and a jihadist there, how in the world could a judge recently let a convicted jihadist attack or, let him go? And I guess he had good behavior in prison or something like that. And then he turns around and makes an attack at Old Dominion College. He killed one of the instructors, and then he was himself taken down by some of the ROTC students. But is this the high price of freedom for us, Bill, having, would-be jihadists in our midst?
Yeah, well, remember Mandami gave a speech and he said, my religion began with Muhammad being an immigrant into Medina. And then he stops by not finishing the sentence that within 5 years of Muhammad coming into Medina, there wasn't a Jew left. They were killed, enslaved, or chased out. And so the fast way is through the sword. The slow way is through immigration. And then we can come to the in the 1200s, you had a leader there in northern Iran in the mountains, and he started a order of assassins. Matter of fact, this is where the word assassin came from. Hashish. So they were called Hashishans. And they would get these guys high on hashish, take them to a harem. They'd have a really good time. They'd pass out. And then when they woke up, they'd say, well, you just went to paradise. And if you kill this enemy leader, you'll go back to that party. And so this Muslim man will sneak into the camp of his enemy where they think they're safe, and he'll assassinate him, and then he'll want to die because he thinks, now I'm going to go back to that party. And so this tactic is ingrained in a culture. Now, the modern rendition of this is 1928 Muslim Brotherhood. So World War One ends, and the Ottoman Empire that had been around for 700 years is gone. This was a blow to the gut of the fundamental Islam. This was like the way the Japanese felt after the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. They felt like not only did their government let them down, their religion let them down, and they were open to being evangelized. But after the Ottoman Empire fell, World War One, you had leaders in the Middle East wanting to be westernized, wanting to be secular. Ataturk in Turkey got rid of the fezes and the burqas and the turbans and the beards. And he said, Mohammedism was nothing more than Arab politics. The Turks were a great people before Islam came in. Islam is may have suited tribes in the desert. It's no good for a modern progressive state. So he's pushing secularism in Turkey. You have Reza Shah in Iran, and he's pushing secularism in Iran. And you got all this happening until the Muslim Brotherhood started in 1928. And they said, let's do the Muhammad thing. Let's go into countries pretending like we're just religious Muslims. We'll get embedded. And then when the signal is given, we become political militant and assassinate. And so they assassinated Abdullah, king of Jordan, because he was too friendly with the Jews. They attempted to assassinate Ataturk. They did these assassinations. And so these leaders in the Middle East are like, okay, we want to be more Western and enjoy the freedoms, but we don't want to get assassinated. So we're going to pretend like we're more fundamental. And then Obama gets in. And Obama uses Facebook to organize, using our CIA to overthrow the moderate Muslim leaders. And like in Egypt, we had a moderate ally named Mubarak. And Obama disinvites Mubarak from the meeting and then fills the room with Muslim Brotherhood people. And so, and then these tactics, Obama turned inward on America. So the CIA tactics we were using to overthrow other countries, supposedly to keep them out of the Soviet orbit, and they were patriotic motivations, but Obama turned that inward against our population for political purposes. He actually signed an executive order in 2015 using behavioral science insights for the benefit of the American people. What's behavioral science insights? It's figuring out how people make decisions and manipulating them through the media. And then he signed the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, which allows the CIA to and deep state to create media to brainwash the country. He signed the Counter-Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act, which allows him to cancel all the people that he labels as disinformation. And but now we're fast forwarding to Iran. Iran before Jimmy Carter. Iran was friends with America. Reza Shah's son was Reza Pahlavi, the Shah, and he had the Cadillac Seville built in Iran. They had the fastest growing economy. He had women going to medical school and wearing the latest fashions, and they even had, you know, discos and dance places in the 1970s. The pictures, it looked like Berkeley, California. And so this was Iran, very progressive, until Jimmy Carter gets in. And Jimmy Carter pulls the rug out from the Shah, orders our military to stand down, lets the Ayatollah land based on some Taqiya lying promises that he'll leave America, the relations with Iran the same. And he gets in, and no sooner he starts calling America the great Satan, Israel the little Satan, death to America, and then exports his anti-Americanism to start Hezbollah and Hamas and the Houthis. And then now there's Hezbollah chapters in Venezuela, and they're infiltrating drug gangs and coming into America. And so this is all thanks to Jimmy Carter. Now, all Muslims have a goal of a one-world government that's Islamic. It's called a caliphate, and the leader is called a caliph. And the moderate Muslims think this will happen in the distant future, maybe at the end of the world. Maybe it's even figurative. And since it's so far off, they really don't think about it. They just want to live their lives, and they're happy to live under the umbrella of the West and enjoy the freedoms. The fundamental ones think it's supposed to happen now, and they're really excited, and they want to help make it happen. And so the fundamentalist of the fundamental ones is the Ayatollah. He is part of this 12er Shiite movement that started in the 1500s. I don't know if I explained it before, but Muhammad
You did explain it before, and they're waiting for the 12th Imam and so forth. And if he is alive, he's been alive for 1,200 years, which is obviously impossible. But so what do you think about what Trump is doing right now in Iran?
Yeah, well, he is the only thing that the fundamentalist Muslims respect is strength. It's the law of the jungle. A lion chasing a zebra. If there's a weak zebra, the lion's going to pounce on it. And so weakness invites aggression. When we show after World War One, when the Ottoman Empire is gone, the Muslim world said, "Hey, the West is strong. We're weak. Let's westernize." And it was moving in that direction. But when the West would show weakness, the fundamentalist ones would get energized. And the fundamental Muslims are just as happy to kill a moderate Muslim as they are to kill an infidel. So the moderates are sort of between a rock and a hard place. And then when Jimmy Carter abandons the Shah, that showed weakness, that energized the fundamental ones. Reagan, I loved him, but in 1983, when the Iranian-backed Hezbollah blew up our Marine barracks and killed 241 U.S. Marines, Reagan's response was to pull America out of Lebanon. And they viewed that as weakness. And then you had Reagan again during the Soviet-Afghan war. Our CIA is arming and training the Taliban. And then now, from their point of view, we're helping them. We're like their slave soldiers. Muslims over the years would have Janissaries or Mamluks, and these were captured people that they would put into their military and make them be their slave soldiers. And so there's the fundamental ones view America as their slave soldier, right? And we're doing their bidding. But that's weakness. And then when Biden lets $85 billion of our most advanced weapons fall into their hands and gives them the biggest military base between China and Europe, that's showing weakness. Hillary Clinton was gun running weapons from Benghazi to Syria to try to take out Assad. And so Trump is trying to undo that. He's showing strength. And I believe we need to follow through and show strength. Put them back into a later mindset, and we'll experience another generation of moderation. It'll never go away. It's sort of like you get chicken pox as a kid, and then you get over it, but it goes into your cells. And when you get in your 60s, like I was, and you get weakened, that comes back as shingles. It's just in remission for all those years. And so the fundamentalist Muslims, they'll go into remission, and you'll have a generation of moderation until the West shows weakness again, and then it shows itself. So
we have 30 seconds to wrap this all up. AmericanMinute.com with Bill Federer. 30
right,
seconds.
And the book that I have all this in is called What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam in the United States. And we also have a flash drive with all my DVDs and video presentations. But AmericanMinute.com is the website and the book, What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran.
All right, Bill Federer, AmericanMinute.com. Thanks, Bill. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, great. Bye-bye now.